It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Buck.
It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Buck.
It's the BBC.
This is Mecha Dawn. You are listening to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. Peace.
Never running from the mission. On the heat up in the kitchen. See the light, we got a vision. On the ladder, escalator. On a mission to be greater. To the top is where we going. We don't care about a hater.
Slow it down for a second. Actually, let's not, cause we might give him a chance to catch up. So
let's go to the top.
Welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, coming at you across the web with the most exciting interviews and the best in Ohio State football and basketball coverage. Here's your host, Joe Dexter.
What is up, Buckeye Nation? Hello and welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, the show that also would bolt from Madison, Wisconsin, as soon as possible if we were stuck there. Joe Dexter, Claire Crawford. Man, Gary Anderson, he's like 2 years and I'm done.
He said bye, Felicia. He was out. I was a little shocked.
It makes you wonder, like, my first thought was, is Barry Alvarez, like, really tough on these guys? What's going on here?
I don't know. I don't think so. I guess that's the rumors that he's tough to work for, but geez, that's kind of his job, is to be a tough guy. I mean, you can't stand the heat. Well, I guess it's not very hot in Wisconsin, but seriously, I thought for sure he could pretty much have whatever he wanted there. And then where he goes, that's just kind of random to me.
You know, no matter what they gave him, he couldn't beat Urban Meyer, so he decided to leave.
Wow, man.
So he takes the Oregon State job, which was opened by Mike Riley, who took the Nebraska job.
Right. Here goes the carousel.
You can see why he would do this, because obviously Oregon State is a place where if you do well, you're going to stay there no matter what.
Right. But I just kind of feel like that's taking the ugly girl to prom. I mean, right? You kind of get where my joke is going here. But seriously, like, why not shoot for the stars? I mean, that's a big job. Wisconsin is a sought-after position still, right? I don't know. Is it not?
If I were a guy and I was going to prom, I'd definitely want to take a Madison before a Corvallis.
But that's, you're right.
That's my opinion. I don't know. But I think the thing about it, too, is when you look at Gary Anderson's offense, and he probably believes I can make a defense anywhere, which is going to be really tough at Oregon State. But
right.
He's a spread offense guy. I don't think he thought he could get the recruits that he wanted at Wisconsin to run the type of style that he did, and he saw an opportunity and ran with it.
I guess so. I can see that. I mean, that does make sense with his coaching style out west, but it's becoming more prolific in the Big Ten. And, yeah, I mean, if he feels like he's going to build a defense anywhere, it's not a great place to start in Oregon.
I mean, the big coaches were all let go besides Urban Meyer. Brady Hoke's not in the conference anymore. It's the road's opening up a little bit, making it easier.
Yeah.
Making it easier to win at Wisconsin.
Aw. Maybe they can have Bert back.
Oh, did you hear Bert in Nebraska? That would have been a match made in heaven.
Right? That kind. No, it wouldn't have. They would. I mean, that's just like having Bo Pelini there. I mean, that would not. You would have liked to have seen him there, but they need, like, you know, an Osborne type again. That's what they want. That's what they say they want. That's what they want. It's not really what they want, but that would not have worked.
So Mike Riley goes to Nebraska from Oregon State. He'd been there for 14 years, thought of by a lot of the coaches across college football as one of those guys that could have taken a jump if he wanted to in the past. He has a lot of credentials, and he has a lot of the respect of his fellow coaches. So you'd think Nebraska knows what they're doing here, but anytime you fire a coach that won 9 games, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny.
I agree, and I try to think of it with my Ohio State colored glasses on, my scarlet colored glasses on, to think that if I were an Ohio State fan or if I was in the administration at Ohio State, if that would be good enough for me, knowing what the program could be. I don't know. I think maybe we would hear our fans calling for the same thing. It was a really difficult decision. It had to be a difficult decision, although I know that they thought that he just didn't quite match what they were looking for or match the, I don't know, what profile they were looking for there. So I don't know who they're going to, I don't know how they're going to make that match with Riley.
I think it's funny, too, if you are a coach like Bo Pelini who has a lot of confidence or whatever, you got to kind of lose that confidence when you say, behind closed doors and it gets leaked out that you hate the fan base.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Like, that reminds me, yeah.
Something's going to happen eventually, and if you don't win a national championship or if you don't compete for a Big Ten championship, then what's the point in keeping around, really, I guess, is the thought.
He kind of backpedaled pretty fast when that happened, didn't he?
Yeah, and he brought his cat with him.
Yeah. I think there are plenty of places. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great coordinator. I wouldn't have. We didn't even bring that up. I mean, we just had a hot seat conversation, did we not?
We did not bring his name up.
He was not hot. It was not because it's not. I didn't even think it was lukewarm. So, if that's what it takes for the Big Ten to be as good as it should be, then you know what? Fine, make that decision. It does not involve my team. That's fine.
We had Andy Coppins on from Talking10.com to talk a little about Mike Riley and being hired there and losing Bo Pelini. And my big suggestion and thing that I wanted to see heading into the coaching carousel was maybe some big name coaches making their way back to the Big Ten. And with this move, that really doesn't happen. And I don't think Wisconsin's going to hire a big name. Gary Anderson kind of could have worked his way maybe into being a big name college coach. But
yeah,
you kind of see the conference regress in a way just because of the coaches that are being brought in most likely.
It really. And then are we ready to talk about the state up north and the coaches that are not going there that are turning it down?
I'm pretty sure I turned down the job last night.
It does not give me a whole lot of confidence in that team up north and them building a legacy again. Dude, it's frustrating because you agree. Like, it does feel like the Big Ten is regressing, and there's the chance to make these coaches have really big name coaches and careers. I'm trying to think of who even is out there and available that would want to put their neck out for a few years to rebuild these teams.
Bo Pelini.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm with you. I don't know. It's going to have to be a young coach that comes in like Jim Tressel did. And Jim wasn't young, but he comes in as a fresh coach. I really think that we're going to find out it make or break for some of these Big Ten assistants. I think if they're going to get a shot, the time is now with some of these programs. Pat Narduzzi is a good fit at Michigan. He's a good fit at Wisconsin. Tom Herman's a good fit at both schools as well. So I think we might see some of these guys make their way. I would love to see them get a chance in the Big Ten.
And I think you and I both have seen that. It's hard because we want to keep them around because they're great coaches. Even Coach Drayton, I'm surprised his name has not been thrown into that hat. I don't know. I don't want to see him go, but I can see them. It's tough to go, I think, from coordinator, big school, head coach, big school. Folks, I mean, like Urban was at BG and then out at Utah, and then the Florida was the big job, and then Florida is a sexy job too, and then big job at Ohio State. I feel like that progression seems to lead to more success, although Jim Tressel seemed to skip a few more steps with that. So who knows?
Like if I'm looking for a guy that kind of like sparks the interest in my fan base, that re-energizes things. If I'm Michigan, why not Tom Herman?
Oh my God, why? Why do you have to say things like that, Joe Dexter?
Listen. You can bring the guy that made three great quarterbacks, but Ohio State still has the three great quarterbacks. Oh,
they do.
But
I don't want to share.
You don't want another
with that team.
You don't want another 100-year war or 10-year war.
No. Okay. So I will take 100-year war. I will agree. And we've talked about this before that team being good, and we can say it now. We can say Michigan. That team being good is good for the Big Ten. It's good for college football. It's good for the rivalry. That's fine with me. I'm not scared. That's totally fine. But when it's one of our own is what I just, it makes my skin crawl. I don't want to share. I'm even fine with, he can go to Michigan State. Tom Herman can go. I don't want him to go anywhere but there.
So if you were a program though, and you're looking for a guy, you'd agree though that this is a guy that could spark a program.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Definitely. Because you look at the – I mean, Ohio State's scoring offense has been crazy since he's been here. They've been able to do things recruiting-wise from Texas that you're not going to get from a typical offensive coordinator.
And Michigan needs a quarterback so bad.
And we've got three of them.
We've got three of them. And more rolling in, baby. Just rolling them in.
Just roll them in. You ever worry about that? I was reading on message boards. They're like, the good quarterbacks are going to stop coming because they already know there's three good ones.
No, I'm not. Because, again, competition breeds success. And there are so many unknowns that are going to happen. I mean, JT Barrett and Cardale didn't stop coming because Braxton was there. And it's tough, and I'm sure there's a balance, and that's part of one of the difficult things about recruiting, I'm sure, is that they have to talk to them about playing time and how much playing time they think they're going to get. But if that quarterback is any kind of decent competitor, he's going to want to compete for that spot, no matter who he thinks he's there to knock off. So I want that type of player at Ohio State.
It goes down to the old terminology that winning – breed success too. So in order for Michigan to get those quarterbacks, they're going to have to hire somebody that is respectable.
Yeah.
Did you hear the latest names that have been thrown out there that they tried to get?
Yes.
Brady Hoke Jr. Brady Hoke. Actually, David Cutcliffe is respected among the league, but among football, but that's not a name that's going to sell the program.
No, that's not a sexy pick.
Apparently Duke's more sexy football wise than Michigan because he's denying it. Apparently the original report was that they did offer him the job and he turned it down.
Wow.
To stay at Duke.
Yikes. Seriously, Duke?
What's that say?
It says, I think it says a lot about the general opinion of the Big Ten. It says a lot about the state of affairs at Michigan. A lot. Things are in complete disarray. And I don't know where to place the blame, honestly. There's so much that's gone wrong that it's tough to even know where to begin. And I think it's just because there's just a modicum of things that happened, I think probably dating back to Rich Rod, And they had the recruit still from Lloyd Carr for him to play with. And then he's trying to just go in and bulldoze things. And he's not a Michigan fan. And then he's trying to install this brand new system. And then his recruits come in and Brady Hoke's got to deal with that mess. And then, oh man, it's just a hot mess that I don't think is going to get better anytime soon.
So that, I guess that makes me have to ask the question. I want to throw some names by and see if you think that these guys even have a potential of turning the program around.
Okay.
They've talked to Les Miles, to Les Miles for 18,000 years.
Yes, they have.
Is he the type of guy that can turn around this program?
Yes.
You would buy into that?
Yes, I would buy into that. That would probably be one of the only big names. He's got the experience of recruiting in other areas. So I think that actually helps Urban that he knows how to recruit other areas. So he's been out west, he's been small town, he's been in SEC country, and now he's been here. And I think with Les Miles is a Michigan man. Ugh, I hate even saying that. he's so creepy, too.
He
kind of reminds me of like the Vigo painting from the Ghostbusters 2 movie. That's... Only if Vigo would have to like pick his nose, that would be Les Miles to me. But seriously, he's got the experience with that type of thing. So I think if anybody could, they just have to give him a long time to do it. Honestly, Michigan fans will just have to suffer through some really tough times for a little while in order to just believe that someone can turn it around. But it's got to be somebody big like that.
And I don't know if he's willing to take the time to rebuild a program either. You just don't know. But one name that is also being thrown out there is Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State.
Oh, he's a man.
He's a 40 man.
Well, he's 40.
He's not 40 men, but you know what I mean.
I like Mike Gundy, and I like what he's done. And he's kind of made something from nothing. However, I am not sure if that is the caliber that Michigan needs in order to turn things around. I mean, that might be what they can get right now. Again, I really like Mike Gundy. I think he would bring the right spirit.
It's funny that when you look at websites trying to predict who's going to be head coaches, and I talked about this with Andy, like when you get a coach that's been in the Big Ten and is looking for a job and he becomes the proverbial throwout name like Greg Schiano has become for Wisconsin and Michigan, you start to wonder, like, is this guy really a candidate for these jobs or is
right.
it just a name?
Just kind of random. Although I would like to see Greg Schiano back in college football like that, in that capacity. Yes. I didn't think Greg Schiano was ever going to leave Rutgers. I thought he was one of the, like, the Pat Fitzgerald type, that's just where he was going to be forever. And because it was okay for him to do what he was doing at Rutgers. I think that would be a good fit. I don't know if it would be a big enough name to turn it around in the recruits' eyes. I don't know what he can do recruiting wise either. I don't think he's got the chops to be able to do it yet.
This is the guy I want. I have a new guy that I want at Michigan.
Oh.
I've been preaching for Charlie Weiss, and I've been preaching for...
Oh, my God. Mangino?
Mangino.
I knew it.
The road has changed a little bit here.
Okay.
He's on the Schembechler tree. His name, Rex Ryan, and he has a foot fetish.
Ew. 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 What do you mean he's on the Schembechler tree? What's the connection there?
I don't know.
Hello?
I think he coached, somehow coached for somebody that coached for Schembechler or something like that.
Oh.
I'll
believe you. I'm just believing you. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Ew, first of all. Ew. You just like the fatties there. They're just easy to make fun of. That would be interesting, and God only knows how long he's going to have his job.
This is
god awful.
Bill Connolly of SB Nation, I'm sorry if you have this wrong, but you put it on your article. So,
okay.
reading through some of the names that he put. He put the Shembekla tree, secondary branches, and there's some familiar names on there, like Butch Jones, Greg Madison, and Bo Pelini, but Rex Ryan's on there.
Really?
And so is James Franklin, which he obviously wouldn't. I don't think he would leave Penn State.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't know where Rex Ryan even came from. Like, did they think, okay, well, we can't get a Harbaugh, so let's just go Rex Ryan? Ew.
You know a name that, like, I would be so upset if this actually had the possibility of happening.
What?
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I'd be so sad.
Although that would be great for Michigan.
Good for them.
Yeah. He's got it made in the shade, man.
He does, and I don't see why would you leave one of the best professional organizations in
Yeah,
football,
a great
period.
It's supposed to be great ownership. I don't see that happening either. That would be pretty tough to get him to leave there.
You know, we could do what Michigan did like in 2009 and just pull a name out of a hat.
How about we just close our eyes and circle the map, and whatever state we land on, we're going to pick whatever random school.
We're flying to San Diego to see Brady.
Man.
I want to make a bet with you. You're not a betting person, are you?
Sometimes. I'm pretty broke, so I don't really ever have any. I'll bet I'm a good darer, like. I'll bet on a dare. So if you make me do something, if I lose a bet, I'll pay up.
All right. I don't know if I want to take this yet, but
okay.
What do you think do you think Brady Hoke will get a job in Division One?
At Krispy Kreme? Oh, in Division One. You're so easy to please, Joe. I don't know where. Supposedly he's supposed to be this like really likable guy. By whom? I don't know. I guess his players love him. So he had to have done well in some sort of capacity in an interview to get that job. So it's not out of the question for him to get one. I'm just trying to think of a program that would want that.
Ball State, I don't know.
I don't know, right?
I would, if we were to bet on it, I would take the side that he's not going to get a job, period, this year.
Oh.
And that
he's not the coordinator type either. Yeah, no. I don't think this year.
Next year, maybe. You know, it'd be fantastic. You know what, Brady? This would be perfect for you because I can tell you from experience, when you get to Press Row, the food is amazing.
Oh, no, don't pull an Urban, no.
ESPN, baby.
No, I'm telling you, it's like having Chris Farley there. That's all his voice sounds like to me, is from Matt, I can't remember his last name, but the motivational speaker, living in a van down by the river. That's what he sounds like.
I never thought about that until you mentioned it.
Does he not sound
he
like
does.
That?
He sounds like Farley.
Yeah. When he's the motivational speaker living in a van down by the river.
Other names that could be considered for Michigan. Mike Hart.
Yeah, because he did so well beating Ohio State. Oh, wait. Wah, 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 wah.
Mike Hart, I hear Lloyd Carr's looking to step back into the ring. You know what I'm saying?
You're joking, right?
There's actually Michigan fans who believe that he could become the coach.
Wow. No, he won't. That's ridiculous.
I wonder, I've come and find myself wondering, is the reason people don't want to go to Michigan because of Lloyd Carr?
I don't see how.
I think I'm just trying to cover up their stink. I don't know.
Right? I'm like, I got nothing there. I really don't know what they're going to do. In all seriousness, I hope something is resolved. As a true Buckeye fan, we've talked about this many times. You want that team to be successful. It's good for many, many reasons until we go up there or they come down here and we just put a whooping on them. That's totally fine with me. And we even saw it again this year, how important the rivalry game is and how intense it is and how tough it is. It's flipping awesome. I love it. But they've got to turn it around, man. They have to.
Just because David Cutcliffe was like on the top of their list, I have to believe that they're looking for an older coach with experience to kind of just come in and save the program type of, like, Les Miles to me was not on the list. Like, I didn't think they were really seriously going to consider going back to him, but if this is the type of guy they're trying to come after, though.
I mean, that's a great thing if that's the type of guy they're coming. Cutcliffe or Miles? I think Miles is still a better choice there.
Yeah, Miles.
But I don't know if he's – I don't know, because he's a liar. He said that he wasn't being interviewed for the position when – I can't remember if it was either Hoke or Rich Rod was trying to be interviewed for it, and he lied and said he wasn't, and then he was, and I wouldn't – and in all reality, I mean, he's a good coach, I think, but I wouldn't – want him as a part of my program.
I wouldn't either. I'm with you on that.
He's throwing his players under the bus, and he's just not a good dude.
I'm going to throw out some names to watch.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you my thoughts, 5 cents on this whole thing.
Okay.
Kyle Whittingham is a name that I think fans should expect from Utah, just because he got the interview at Wisconsin or at Nebraska. He was considered heavily there.
Yeah.
He's an interesting candidate. He's got that whole Urban Meyer tie-in.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to me.
I don't hate it. Go on.
But I just got this feeling that they're going to say, screw everybody. Screw what everybody thinks, and we're going to bring in an assistant that we think can take over this program.
I don't know.
I just see them. There's so many assistants out there. Or they go the opposite way and go for a completely young coach that nobody's heard of, like Justin Fuente from Memphis. I just don't see any of these big names going, I want to be here, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I mean the best option from there is go for a defensive or offensive coordinator that's made a name for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's a project in itself. Whatever they're going to be doing is going to be taking a chance. I'd say the only way they're going to get a proven coach is if, like you said, it's an older coach kind of wanting to just retire there and make that their forever home. I don't know who's going to do that. As far as we know, who's available or who they would offer it to. I don't know. The carousel might be just waiting, like the vultures that they are, for the carry on of the rest of this like carnage of the coaching carousel.
So we'll wrap up this discussion on Michigan where we started. Bo Pelini.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, it might just be Bo Pelini. That would be all kinds of fun, though.
Oh, that'd be a blast.
I like Bo Pelini up there. I think that would be fun.
What I was reading, a Dark Horse article, I think it was rantsports.com, and like the top three were all former like Big Ten coaches, like Bo Pelini, Brett Bielema for the Michigan job, and then like Kirk Ferentz number one. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's talking about got it made in the shade, dude. He's got a sweet deal there.
Talked about made in the shade. I felt like I was made in the shade after last Saturday's win.
How about Tyrone Willingham? I know we just seriously tried to cut off that conversation, but that's another one. You're like, okay, we're wrapping it up. Thanks, Claire Bearer. And wait a minute.
Tyrone Willingham would be perfect.
Yeah.
winning tradition.
No.
But he's a good guy. Great, great leader. But he doesn't. Okay. Hey, I'll take it.
What happened? I think we talked about Ron English, too. He was a Michigan man for a while. Okay, I had enough fun. Okay, it's just too fun sometimes making fun of him. Okay, go ahead.
Ron English might be coaching junior high somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, yikes. Okay, sorry. Okay, we're done. Okay, 59-0. Yay!
59-0, a win for Ohio State in the big championship. I have never in my life witnessed an Ohio State game like this. Have you?
You could have knocked me over with a feather. I, I, I was speechless. Like, I just kept looking at the people I was watching it with, like, is this real life? Like, the kid in the YouTube video, like, is this real life? Is this really happening right now? I kept thinking, okay, they're going to score. Wisconsin's going to score. It's gonna get closer here. Nope. They just, in every possible way, total and utter domination. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Every once in a while, you get these moments in these big games, bowl games, and championship games where players elevate above the game. And Cardale Jones did that.
He did. I think it didn't even look like he had any sort of pressure on him. He was like Mr. Cool Cucumber. Everything he delivered was on time. It was unreal. They all played out of their minds, and the defense stepped up like we've been praying for them to step up. It was amazing.
I'm just speechless thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because
I keep shaking my head.
Mark Ray was on a radio station, and he works for Buckeye Sports Bulletin earlier this week, and he put it perfectly. If you thought that Melvin Gordon was going to be stopped for what he was, then shut up. You're lying.
Right. You could have never. I would not have taken that bet.
No.
I would not have taken that bet. And he looked like someone, like, took all the blood out of his body at the end of that game. Like, he just looked like complete, like, somebody melted his brain. He went through a Buckeye brain melt is what happened. Like, he couldn't even fathom the fact of what just happened. He didn't even look sad. He just looked so shocked.
Hey,
I was shocked.
I'll be right back. I gotta put a trademark on Buckeye brain melt.
Okay, thank you. That worked though, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was though. Like, this is a guy, NFL prospect. We're not just talking maybe fifth Heisman. Round, sixth round. We're talking possible Heisman candidate.
Yep.
And they just shut the door.
And the linebackers stepped up. Man, we needed them to step up so bad. And they did. They really did. They locked it down. And I was so proud of the scheming. I was so proud of the intensity that they brought. Joey Bosa. Oh, my man, Joey Bosa. He just lights out of his mind, he played. It was fantastic. Everybody on all levels.
You saw him and you saw Michael Bennett on almost every play.
Yeah. Yep.
And so
he grabbed, I think it was Gordon on that one play where Joey Bosa, it was like kind of everybody was kind of getting like piled up. Gordon could have just kind of backed out and looped back around. Joey Bosa grabbed him from behind like some sort of like Ronda Rousey jiu-jitsu move and like flipped him backwards. It was so great. It was just utter domination.
The momentum that started from Cardale Jones's first pass to Devin Smith.
Yeah.
From that point on, you're kind of sitting on your couch if you're not at the game, and you're just, is this happening right now?
Yeah.
Is this the Buckeye team that I expected to be on the field? Maybe not, but you're just, I don't scream at the TV. I know that's hard to believe. I just don't. I'm not that type of person most of the time. I was on Saturday, let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm a TV screamer. It's bad. I'm probably, like, my neighbors probably don't like me very much. In general.
Were they Wisconsin fans? Because that'd just be great.
I doubt it. But even if they were Buckeye fans, they were probably like, cool it, lady. Jeez.
It's only just football. A game.
No. No, it's not. But it was fantastic. I'm not super surprised by Cardale. And don't call me a liar. I really am not super surprised. I remember what I saw him do at the beginning of the season, and he's taken enough snaps, and he's a smart guy despite some of his social media outreach he did early on in his career. But he really knows the offense really well. I just knew that the receivers and everyone else had to step up. And I think that's what the main component was missing in the media. Everyone was saying, well, you know, there's no way that he's going to be as good as JT Barrett, but he didn't have to be. You know, JT Barrett was amazing, and he started growing and growing, but so did the offensive line. So did the running backs. It was a much more mature team that Cardale got to hold the reins to, as opposed to JT Barrett being new and then the rest of the offense being new.
right? Four offensive linemen were new starters when JT took over. Those guys blossomed into who they were at the end of the year. You look at Devin Smith's progression throughout the year and just the big plays that he's always going to make. Anytime you throw in a quarterback that's got some talent and you have a playmaker like Devin Smith, good things can happen.
I completely agree. It was amazing to watch, and I hope they can repeat it.
I just figured something out. What? I know why Gary Anderson left Wisconsin.
Okay. Why is that?
He realized that Joel Stave was going to be his starting quarterback.
Oh, boy.
17 Yikes. For 43 on the night.
He had a bad night.
4.3 average per pass. That's pretty darn bad.
It was bad, and it made Wisconsin look really one-dimensional all night. And I think the Buckeyes figured it out very quickly that that was going to be the case, and they just rammed it down their throats.
And, you know, when you ram it down the throat as well, that sends a message. It just does. A lot of people were talking about how, okay, Devin Smith's big catch to start the game, the 39-yard pass, set the tone. For me, it was that second score.
Mm-hmm.
Elliott got that 81-yard run and just...
God, that was beautiful. That hole opened up, and it was like the heavens. And he just saw green. Boom. Gone. There was nothing else left.
Heaven
Maybe
came
there was a
down.
Safety float now. Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott filled my soul.
That's what it felt like. It was just like, all of a sudden, open up, the light shone through, green all the way. God, that was a great run. And the hole, it was perfectly timed. He hit it, go.
He had 150 yards, two scores in the first half.
Yeah. He's got to be pretty happy with himself after that, too.
And we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, what back would you rather have? I'll tell you what back I'd rather have. I'll take Zeke all day, every day.
Any day, man. That's fine with me.
20 carries, 220 yards, 11 average on the game, two touchdowns. As we mentioned, that 81-yard run was his longest of the night. And when the tallies came in and Cardale Jones had the night that he did, it's not that I disrespect the fact that he got the MVP because he deserved it, but I thought it was Ezekiel Elliott that really should have won the award. Maybe I'm wrong. He broke the rushing record for the Big Ten Conference Championship game.
I saw that. They broke a lot of Big Ten Championship records that day.
That's true.
But yeah, it's hard to believe because of the history with Big Ten and the amazing running backs that have been there. And I guess, Big Ten Championship game hasn't been around that long, but it's pretty awesome to see a Buckeye do it, and one of my favorites.
The passing game was just lights out at times. Cardale only threw 17 times, but he had some.
It felt like more than that. He just didn't need to. When it was time to strike, they just made it happen.
Devin Smith, this is like his line of his whole life. Like, usually he has like one reception more than touchdowns per game.
Right.
He had four receptions, three touchdowns.
Yeah, there you go. And I think his one reception, I was like, that was not a very Devin Smith-like route he just ran. It was like a 10-yard out.
Right.
I'm like, was that supposed to be Devin Smith on that play?
Does Devin Smith block out people and get the ball? Like,
I don't know what he does, but he does it well. And it's really been awesome to watch him mature, too. And his route running has really improved this year.
That's the point. The guy has improved in so many aspects. We've become so accustomed to seeing him just being a big play receiver that when he has these opportunities to make plays in coverage, we haven't seen that really.
So yeah.
To see him be able to blossom like that.
It's pretty amazing. We're kind of lucky. I've had Permigrin just ever since then. And even I wasn't nervous. And honestly, I truly was not nervous come Selection Sunday. I was at work and I was like talking to a client at the same time and just kind of like relaxed. Normally I'd be like checking my phone, like freaking out. But honestly, I was so just still flying high from that win, thinking, you know what? If they get shut out of the playoff, that was their championship. That's what they want. That's what they've been preaching about all season. And that's what they said all these roadblocks were in the way of. And they got it. They got to it, and they did it in a fashion that nobody thought they would. And it just, that was one of the things that solidified them a spot. I really, truly believe that.
What are your thoughts on the rankings?
I think that the Big 12 not having a championship game probably hurt. I think the Big 10 championship game, if that wouldn't have occurred, the Buckeyes probably would not have made it into the top four. I'm sure it is difficult to swallow as a TCU or Baylor fan how that ended up rolling out. But in the end, and it's not just as an Ohio State fan, because I make no bones about it that I am. I think that in the long run, committee members did make the right choice as far as putting Ohio State in there. And Ohio State proved, I think, that they can play with anybody.
I think they got all four right, which is impressive considering where we thought they would be.
Yeah.
At most points of the season, to be able to get all four. I mean, if you watched, and they have to watch the last championship games, if you watched that and didn't put Ohio State in, you have to live with that.
Right. And I can't even imagine. And you can hear people say, well, it comes down to the money. I can maybe understand that for a bowl selection. Right?
Right.
Or because they have a vested interest. The folks that run the bowls, they have television contracts, they have television ties. We have a very large fan base as Ohio State fans, partly because we're just one of the world's biggest universities. So we have more students, more fans. That's just how it happens. Even the folks that didn't go to Ohio State, it's just going to be a bigger fan base, more ratings. So I understand that if it comes from like a bowl selection standpoint, but from a Final Four, these committee members are not necessarily the same type of folks that are on the bowl selection committee. So I don't think that rings true as far as I think that's just a crutch for people who really truly don't believe that Ohio State should be in the Final Four playoff.
Do you love or hate the matchup in the Sugar Bowl with Alabama?
I love it, man. You got who was it? Was it Mike Doss that says you got to beat the best to be the best?
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say. It's a juggernaut. I'm pumped about it, man. That's totally fine with me. It's an opportunity again for the Buckeyes to say, okay, this is who we are and this is who we can be. And it's a huge test for Urban Meyer. Huge test.
This week, the last weekend, was kind of like validation, I think, for fans winning that championship, the first under Urban Meyer's tenure. Getting that championship and then hearing Urban Meyer say, I don't think there's any doubt we're one of the top four teams in America, was just like, okay, the Urban Meyer era is here. It's solidified here. Now. It's here.
Yeah, and finally, all restrictions are off. The governor has been taken off. And he's ready to roll now. And he says he won't say it in his press conference. He won't say surprised. He's never surprised. But he was not, I don't think, expecting this outcome after losing Braxton. And he's basically said, if you would have asked me, a week into the season, if I thought we would be here, he wouldn't have believed it. So it's pretty awesome to see how everyone has stepped up to the task. And I know that Ohio State's talent can match up with Alabama's talent. I have no doubt in my mind that they can. It's going to come down to scheming and coaching. That's all there is to it.
I guess I got to ask the tough questions as we end the show.
I'll do it, man.
Next year, you got the three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If personal opinion, which one do you think would be the best to run the offense?
First of all, Braxton's not going anywhere. So we can shut the haters up and the random internet trolls can be quiet.
He's going to be a Gamecock. What are you talking about? I just read it about right? 20 minutes ago.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's going to be an Oregon Duck. No, no, no. No, no, no. And double no. Okay? Braxton is staying exactly where he is. I think it's hard to say because in the past, Braxton didn't have this many weapons. So, and Urban Meyer said that. He's like, in the past, it was like Braxton left, Braxton right, Carlos up the middle. It's kind of what the offense was built for. I'm not going to say I'm not interested to see what it would be like with Braxton at the helm with all those weapons. But JT is just such a cool customer, man. And he's really stepped up as far as his leadership capabilities. They all just, I mean, it just looks like it's a very, when JT is in there, it's a very smooth running machine. And I'm not sure if it's JT at this point or Braxton or Cardale, because it just seems like it's running on all cylinders no matter who's back there. And it's because of their talent level and how close that race is. But I don't envy that decision-making process. It's good for Ohio State. It's good for the position.
The only way I see one of them transferring somehow is if Tom Herman ends up at a major conference team and they need a quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen, but the only way that it would be possible to me.
They'd still have a sit a year, right?
Unless it was Braxton. Braxton wouldn't have to sit.
Because he's already graduated.
He's already graduated, so he'd be able to be that six-year senior. Everybody else would have to sit out a year.
I mean, it would be a hard pill to swallow to watch Braxton with that kind of eligibility left sit on the sidelines. I would have a hard time if I were Braxton with that. But I would also have a hard time if thinking that Coach Meyer wouldn't run either JT or Cordell and Braxton at the same time. So, and then we've got Jalen and Collier with his red shirt off next year, man. I mean, it's just insane.
Torrance Gibson.
Yep. I can't wait.
The thing that's crazy, and I cannot say that I would ever have thought after Braxton Miller's injury, when you look at the big picture at the end of the year, next year Ohio State will have the three best quarterbacks in the conference, in my opinion. Most likely.
Name a better one.
Yeah, name one that's better. That's crazy.
I don't think we sound like crazy fans right now. I mean,
okay.
Somebody correct us if we're wrong, but it's hard. I don't think we're the only ones thinking that either. Now, I will say I like Cardale as far as like his build, and his arm has got an unbelievable. He's got an unbelievable arm strength. It was amazing to watch the touch that he can put on it. And his accuracy was pretty awesome. I do believe that JT is a little more accurate, and his scrambling abilities might be a little more polished at this point. I think he's a little faster than Cardale too. But it might just be the fact that Cardale is just that much bigger, and almost kind of like how Terrell Pryor didn't always look that fast, but he really was, just because he's got this big, long stride. So who knows? I don't know, man. It's a great problem to have.
Just move Cardale Jones to outside linebacker.
He could be tight end too, man. He's huge.
The Buckeyes with that big win, 59-0. It felt good. And as always, Claire, it feels good to talk to you, catch up on the Buckeyes. And I'm ready for the bowl games. How about you?
I'm waiting with my popcorn. I'll make low-carb popcorn. And I can't wait. It'll be a really exciting season for us to talk about. We still have so much more to talk about. That's the exciting part. I still have more podcasts with you just because the Buckeyes are such awesome winners.
I got some paper towel if you'd rather chew on that.
No, thank you. No, thanks. I think I'll stick with regular popcorn.
Claire Crawford, Joe Dexter, the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. Of course, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us at thebuckeyebattlecry.com. And we got some big news coming up in January. We'll be on an app somewhere.
Did you just say an app?
We'll be on an app somewhere, so you'll have to stay tuned for that news.
Get it. Go Bucks.
OH.
IO.
For more on the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, visit iTunes or check out our media page. For more Buckeye news and notes, visit www.thebuckeyebattlecry.com.